So we started the Perek Chav Zayin, where he discussed the difference between Torah and mitzvahs when it comes to their actual Kedusha. Okay? When it comes to the actual Kedusha of the Torah versus mitzvahs. And his concept was that, an unbelievable concept, basically the concept was that mitzvahs took on a new form in this world, whereas Torah retains its main Kedusha as it did right away in the Bria, and we are, our job is to tap into it. So he says an interesting, and that's what we explained last time, that Kedusha only exists in this world as things as far as they relate to Torah. Anything which does not relate to Torah has no Kedusha. A lulav, no Kedusha, right? Schach, there's no Kedusha. While it's you being used, it's muktzah, whatever, but there's no inherent Kedusha. In Esreg, even tzitzis. But tefillin, oh, you have to put in Sheamus. Why? Because there's a parasha of tefillin. There's parashiot in there. Mezuzah, oh, Sheamus, Geniza. So Torah retained its Kedusha. He says an interesting halacha. So therefore, the question is, so how are we able in this world to connect to it? So he said, this is where you got to be careful. The halacha is that, interestingly enough, Torah, you're not allowed to touch with your bare hands. You're allowed to touch a lulav. You're allowed to touch tzitzit. Torah, you have to wash your hands before you touch it. You're not allowed to touch it. Everyone touching the Torah picks it up with the talit and this and that, right? What's the deal with that? Why can't you touch it? So he said, you can't touch it because now you're coming into contact directly with the Kedusha itself. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's we are not capable of taking in the full level of Kedusha that Torah has. And therefore, cover, you know, touch it with a talit. You know, don't touch it directly. That's what he says that he brings from the Gemara. Ha'ochez b'sefer Torah arum nikra arum me'isa mitzvah. Okay. Now we left off last time trying to understand the concept that he said that you're not allowed to learn in the bathroom. Okay. And this was the concept that was a little tricky. And we'll have to explain it because it's one of the most trickiest concepts in the Sefer here. And like I said before, the entire Shar Gimel, the third gate, which we skipped, is based on this concept. And this was one of the supposedly major conflicts between the Hasidim and the Reb Chaim Volozhiner in this point. Okay? We're not going to touch on the whole point right now, because that's really for Shar Gimel. But just to explain what he does here, which is like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as far as he is, Hashem himself, we cannot understand anything about Hashem. We cannot understand anything about his hanhaga, really, the way Hashem is. When we describe Hashem, everything that we describe about Hashem is the way he interacts with the world. But it's not about Hashem himself. The reason why Hashem is able to interact with the world in a way that we can describe it and we can tap on to a little bit of the Kedusha is called the concept of Tzimtzum. That somehow, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the question is, did he limit his own existence? Whatever, he limited himself in a way that now we can understand it. Fine. Now, the way Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains the concept is that Hashem didn't limit himself at all. There's actually no Tzimtzum at all. There's no real limitation. It's just that there's two ways to look at it. Hashem exists everywhere equally. And in Hashem's existence, there's no difference between a tar makom, a tame makom. Really doesn't matter. But so that's mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But mitzad our hanhaga, since we live in a world that these things are tame and these things are dirty and these things are not places that one wants to, attribute holiness or shalemus to, because of that, we have to treat it as if he doesn't exist there, as if we cannot bring him there, But that's as far as we're concerned. But as far as Hashem is concerned, from his end, from Hashem's being, there is no difference between this place and that place. The difference in this world between a bathroom and a Kodesh HaKadoshim is not really a chiluk in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no chiluk in Mekoymais. These things don't matter. Hashem is above all the Mekoymais, obviously. So the fact that we have to treat this place differently than that place is only as far as our perception, because Hashem made it that way that we should be able to interact with him in that way. So he says the interaction with Torah is the same. In reality, Torah itself exists on all planes. Torah exists with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and therefore it's above all playing fields. However, the reason we are not allowed to learn Torah in those places is mitzad us. We are not supposed to bring it in to a place that is not appropriate for it to be brought into. But it's only as far as our perception. Okay? He says, so he says like this, in the middle of Chavzayim, he says, Kein ha-Torah, af ki yardav v'nishtal shel aderech hadrako is rabois atzumois, even though it came down into this world, im kozeh he lo nishtan tzim k'dushas ha-klal, it did not change its k'dusha at all. It didn't change in this world at all. Uvi k'dushasa rishoyna oimedes, and it's still in the original k'dusha, gam b'zeh o'ilo atachtoin, even when it's here. The same way it was with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the real world up there. And as far as the Torah is concerned, there's no chiluk makom. But even though, as far as the Shem is concerned, all the places are equal, there's no chiluk in one place and the other. A dirty place is not going to make a chiluk that Hashem cannot exist there. Of course, Hashem exists there. Same thing with the Torah. Im kol zeh, however, anachnu we ne'asarnu ledaber. We are not permitted to speak Torah there. Gam lahara, but even to think Torah there. B'mavuas hametunafim. Ki mitzidenu vada yesh chiluk v'shinui mekaymois. Because mitzidenu there is a chiluk mekaymois. Question is bar sham ba'irach. So it's all mitzideinu, not mitzidai.
The first verse we said that we're bringing the kochos of Hashem. We have the power to bring more koch of Hashem. If it's completely here in its maximum expression, what we're adding. So it meets us. So it's already
the way Hashem wants it to be mashpia. It's the kochos to be mashpia. It's not the actual metzias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The metzias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists regardless. Now, I don't know the sugya of Tzimtzum well enough, but I think that this was a little bit of a machlokes here. So I think others held, not like what he's saying here. I think others held that that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamtzum himself in a way that the Shekhinah doesn't exist in those. I don't know exactly. I don't want to say anything because, you know, this stuff, if you get it wrong, it's like borderline kafir. So,
it sounds like it's not something that I'm grasping. Like, I'm having to understand.
Yeah, it's one of those very deep concepts that we got to work on a little bit more. I mean, me myself included, I don't have it clear yet. You know, hopefully we'll work on it. I mean, that's why I'm still not sure if we should learn the third gate. Because
the gist of it is that this Kedusha and this Makom non-Kadosh, Tameh, I guess, is just for us, kind of. It's not for Hashem.
Right. It's not that Hashem doesn't exist when there's Tumah. Hashem exists in all realms as far as he himself is concerned.
So the question not exists. The question is, he didn't...
That's never been a question. I understand this, like Adam's saying, it's never been a question. So then why are we like explaining it though? If it's never been a question, a Kadosh Baruch Hu's around it.
No, because everyone's gonna say, well, if Torah is so holy, so just, you know, it's above all party lines. So now
why another, we should be able to learn in the thing in the rest
of something. Right, because it's not gonna be affected by the Tumah. It's like not a Kabbal Tumah, right? So like what's the problem? In the Torah's realm, it exists everywhere. And the answer to that is it's only because in the measly world that we live in, we have to deal with the fact that this place is considered more kadosh than that place. We're not living in the achdus of a kadosh baruch hu, that everything's just related to him. So we're living in the practical world that we live in, which is after everything, you know, expressed itself. In that world, we are mitzuveh to deal with it such, but that's only in our perception, but it's not really true. That's the point, because and this is basically a machlokes, because if it is true, then thinking it's not true is kfira. And if it's not true, thinking it is true is also kfira. So
I always understood Hashem doesn't want to descend to a place that's tameh.
That Hashem what?
Hashem doesn't want to put his presence in a place that has tumah.
Right, so that's what he's saying is not true. That's not the point. Hashem's presence exists in the world because Hashem is above.
It doesn't exist. Is that he prefers not to enter into a? It's like a preference. Like they say, you know, when someone uses bad language, there's like no, like the Shekhinah doesn't.
No, it's
that's what he's saying. That's not true. That's not the point. The point is that we have to act in a way.
In a certain
it's
way.
Not a place appropriate for a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our perception. But that's all in our perception. What?
It's just like a PR stunt. It's just to like, it's just for us to
show. We have to deal with it in our world. What would be in our reality, right? But it's not actually that way. It's like for example, let's say there's a you have a professor of mathematics and he's teaching, you know, eighth graders, okay, algebra, and he's a professor of. Calculate, you know, he's a college level professor and he's teaching seventh or eighth graders, you know, geometry. So he's going to make a question. He's going to be like, wow, that's a hard question. I don't know the answer to that. He's bringing himself down to their level. And in that level, it's true. Like this is a hard question and I don't get it. And it's hard. And it's a good point, but in his real knowledge, it makes no difference. This guy, the difference is so minute that of course he understands it. It's not even like, it doesn't make a difference, right? It's just that in the level that he's dealing with, oh, wow, yeah, that's a hard problem. It's an easy problem. But for me, it's not hard or easy. There's no difference in this one or that one, right? Because his knowledge is, Metzius is so much higher.
It's a good analogy.
Right? So, It's the way that we're supposed to deal with it. It's the way that we're supposed to deal with it, but not the actual Metzius Hadavar. Okay, that's what he was saying there. This is what I'm telling you. This is why we skipped the whole Shaar Gimel, because it's about this concept, and so it's very tricky.
When it gets too hard, we jump ship.
What?
When it gets too hard, we skip. You know.
No, well, when I learned it in my Rebbeim, all their Rebbeim also jumped ship. No one learned, most places don't learn Shaar Gimel. So
there is a different school of thought amongst the Hasidim, I think you're saying, who right. Don't say.
I'm not equipped right now to deal with that full topic.
But there is another shita to this.
I think there's another shita to this. And according to some, this shita was the primary machlokes between the Vilna Gaon and the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch. This was the machlokes.
Two heavy hitters.
What? Exactly. This is not something that was so pushed. And each one, and then there's five books written after that about how there was never really any machlokes, and they both were really the same thing. So whatever, figure that one out. Okay, all right. Let's try to get into it tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Interesting material. Very interesting.
Yeah. Try. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.